Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He is looking at you in your born-again spirit. Yeah. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God is seeing you in your spirit, and in your spirit you are as holy and pure and righteous as Jesus is. And so, if you want to worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Come before Him on the basis of the born-again you that has been sanctified and perfected forever. Man, if you understand this, you know what? It could literally make you so that you have no more sin consciousness. You aren't physical oriented. You aren't just judging and evaluating everything based on your actions, but you're based on, Father, I came to you and I'm a new creature and I'm sanctified and perfected forever. I'm holy, I'm righteous. Yeah. Thank you for what you've done. I enter boldly into the throne, to the very holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that you've consecrated for me through Jesus. And I'm going to draw near with a true heart. That's talking about in that born again spirit part of you. Having my conscience washed. My heart washed from an evil conscience.
Yes. Amen.
That's the way that you draw near to God. Awesome. This is nearly too good to be true news. Amen. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10 again, verse 15. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness unto us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. This is going back to Psalms chapter 40. This was already quoted in the 10th chapter up there in verses 4 through 7 or something like that. And it's going back to those same verses from Psalms chapter 40, verses 4 through 6. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. Or excuse me, I missed that. That's going back to Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. It says, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That was quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. We've already covered that. So he's going back to this, and he says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There is nothing left to do. If you don't think that Jesus has dealt with all of your sin, past, present, and future, if you think that every time you sin, it's a new infraction against God and it's got to be atoned for and you have lost your right standing with God until you get it back under the blood and repented and back into the right position, if you believe that, there is no more offering for sin. Matter of fact, I'll probably deal with this scripture tonight. I'm running out of time this morning. But I'll deal with Hebrews chapter 6, and it makes it very clear that you can never crucify Jesus a second time. That would be putting him to an open shame. That is unacceptable. God will never redo what Jesus has done. There is no such thing as being born again, 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 again. There is no such thing as getting your sins covered over and over and over. There is only one time that Jesus died for sins, and he is now seated at the right hand of God. The significance of that is he's not working. He's not doing something. He is seated. He's not still making an application. The way that most people see salvation is every time a person gets born again, Jesus applies their blood, his blood to them and forgives them. And then after they get born again, every time they sin, they got to come back and confess it and get it reapplied. That would picture Jesus just constantly up there for millions and millions and millions of Christians that are sinning billions of times every day. Just making a constant applying of his blood and applying his blood. There would be no sitting on the Father's right hand. There would be no rest. That's totally contrary to what all of this is saying. Jesus died for our sins one time, sanctified, perfected us forever. Sin is not an issue with God. It's only an issue with you because we have been preached The Old Testament law that is still imputing sin and still making you sin conscious and making you under the thing that you have to come back and constantly get cleansed. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says that He, Jesus, is the propitiation. That means an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. Here's something that's going to be a new wrinkle in your brain. You know what? Everybody's sins have already been forgiven. Even unbelievers' sins have been forgiven. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. Not only ours, but the whole world. The truth is, nobody's going to go to hell for homosexuality, lying, stealing, murdering. Those sins have been paid for. You know, Hitler, as far as we know, went to hell. He did not make Jesus his Savior, but he didn't go there for killing 6 million Jews and starting a world war and all of the terrible things he did. You know what sends people to hell? Is the sin of rejecting Jesus, the atonement for their sins. It says over in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit, I believe it's verse 8, that when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And the Lord knew that people would just take that and run with it and make something out of it that it wasn't intended to say. So He clarified it. The next verse, verse 9 says, of sin, because they believe not on Me. The Holy Spirit convicts of one sin. That's the sin of not believing on Jesus. Holy Spirit's not the one that's convicted you because you didn't study and study the Word, and it makes you feel so unworthy and so condemned. And, oh God, I ate dessert again. I promised You I wasn't going to do this. You know what? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's your conscience that's condemning you and convicting you. The Holy Spirit convicts of one sin, and that is the sin of not believing on Jesus. And if a person doesn't accept the atonement that was made for them, their sins have been forgiven, but if they don't accept it, then you know what? That voids what Jesus did for them, and they will suffer for sin. I'm not totally sure on this, whether we suffer for our individual sins. There are some scriptures that would make you think that way, or whether we suffer for that singular sin of rejecting Jesus. But let me say it this way, that the sin of rejecting Jesus is infinitely worse than homosexuality, than adultery, than murder. Those things pale in comparison to the fact that God Almighty loved the world so much that He sent Jesus. Jesus suffered untold amount. Just, you know, we focus on the cross, and I by no means am trying to minimize the cross, but Jesus suffered the moment He entered into a physical body and became a man. Here was infinite, unlimited God now confined to a finite body. Here was the Creator walking by people that He created, and they ignored Him, didn't even know who He was. Think about that suffering. Think about seeing people die that He created, and He never made us to die. And He knew it was sin, and He saw our suffering. He became part of us. And Jesus suffered from the moment He entered into a physical body, and it culminated in the cross and all of those things. But God gave that much sacrifice. He went to this expense to redeem us and to obliterate sin, and for a person to ignore it and act like it's unimportant, or a person to say, oh, well, thank You, that's a part of it, but I've also got to be holy, that diminishes what Jesus did to where it was only a part of the answer instead of the total answer. Those kind of things are infinitely worse than murdering a person. Spurning the love of Jesus and just ignoring it and going about to establish your own righteousness instead of yielding yourself to what Jesus did for you, that's worse than homosexuality ever thought about being. Religious sins of self-righteousness are a greater offense to God than anything else. Jesus went in and ate with publicans, tax collectors, who were people who were treasons. They were treasonous. They were collaborating with the Roman government. They were thieves. He ate with tax collectors. He went in and he was merciful to Mary Magdalene, a prostitute. He, the woman who was taken in the very act of adultery, he said, let those without sin cast the first stone. He was merciful to prostitutes, to people who were liars, thieves, murderers. You know the only people Jesus ever rebuked? Religious hypocrites that were proclaiming their goodness and God owes me something because I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. And Jesus rebuked them. You can read the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. You scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you whited sepulchers, you look good on the outside but you're full of dead men bones. These are people that never committed adultery, that never lied, that never stole. They paid their tithes even down to the spices in their gardens. They were doing the right things, but they were trusting in their goodness instead of in a Savior. They were rejecting the atonement of God, and they, in a sense, were atoning for their own sins. Boy, God blasted them. He was merciless on hypocrites, religious people. That's the greatest sin of all. That makes all of these other sins seem like nothing in comparison. And I tell you, the body of Christ, the religious church in America today, is just as full of Pharisees as it was during Jesus' days. People that are trusting themselves. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
It's true. And I'm sure that a lot of it is out of ignorance, but nonetheless, it's wrong. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has ended the sin question. And the average Christian today is just bogged down with sin. Again, this is Saturday morning. You're the cream of the crop. You are probably more committed to God than the average person. And yet I can guarantee you the vast majority of people in this room are just struggling with how can you overcome sin and trying to get over this and that. And your whole relationship with God starts and ends with sin. When you enter in, oh God, I'm so sorry. I just approach you so humbly. God, I'm sorry for this. You start confessing everything. Our relationship with God, the average Christian, revolves around sin, trying to overcome sin. And again, I know that what I'm saying is contrary to what most of us have been taught. I'm not living in a vacuum. I came from basically the same place that any person in here did. I was super religious. But you know what? I'm telling you what the Word says. And I'm just challenging you today to make the decision that the Bible says to let God be true and every man a liar. Recognize that traditions and doctrines of men are what's making the Word of God of none effect in your life. If you'd grab hold of the Word and renew your mind with it and start approaching into the holy place by a new and living way with a new high priest.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-155 titled Momentary Redemption when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.